You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We're joined by Letitia Harding, the Chief Executive of the Asthma Foundation, Aotearoa. And we're talking about a damning new report coming out from Cure Kids, which is an NGO which is focused all about child health. Their latest report spells some pretty nasty, has some pretty nasty data for our child's health, New Zealand's children's health, especially with regards to respiratory illnesses. So joining me, we have Letitia Harding on the phone from Wellington. Love modern technology. Good morning to you, Letitia. How are we?
Morena, Zach. I'm good. Kia pai.
I'm glad. I'm very, very glad. How are things up in the Big W in Te Whanganui Atara?
Well, it's not windy, which is good, and a spot of sunshine sneaking through, so not too bad.
Okay, that's great. That's awesome. We're pretty lucky down here as well. Things are sunny. They're not too cold. You know, autumn's starting to hit pretty well. let's talk about this new report. It shows that hospitalisation rates for acute respiratory conditions have increased by 60% over the last 25 years for our children and young adolescents. Respiratory conditions make up 1 in 5 hospitalisations. For children and young adolescents, and that number jumps to half of all hospitalisations for 1-year-olds and younger. Why are we seeing huge upticks in these respiratory problems for our tamariki?
Yeah, look, we do have quite high respiratory stats here in New Zealand. Things like even asthma, which is quite common. 1 in 8 children, 1 in 8 adults have asthma. Actually, a lot of people don't realise that we still have around almost 100 people dying from asthma each year. And when it comes to our children, well, I think there's a lot of aspects that this report, we should focus on in this report. And one is, you know, our kids, they really need to have the vaccines fast-tracked as well. Those most at-risk children and communities, access to new RSV vaccines, fast-tracking the process, the approval process and the funding for these kids is hugely important. And also healthy homes.
That's very, very true. How has COVID impacted these numbers? Because, you know, that was a pretty recent phenomena and it was, I mean, respiratory disease. So how does that play an impact on the respiratory health of our children and young adolescents?
I think in some ways it's actually highlighted, brought to attention respiratory as a whole, and people thinking, you know, actually what I'm breathing in, whether it's, viruses or the air I'm breathing in, or if I'm going into or living in an unhealthy home, it's put more awareness in that space. In terms of these kiddies, like this report is showing, it really comes down to protecting them and primary prevention, you know, making sure we've got the vaccines available. And as I said, what's really sad for our advisory board, which is made up of clinicians and nurses and nurse practitioners, is when a kiddie comes in to the hospital with, a respiratory condition, then they go right back into a really cold, damp home. And so they're coming backwards and forwards about 3 or 4 times over winter.
That's not very very positive, is it? It's pretty negative stuff.
No, definitely not.
Has our housing stock worsened over the past 25 years? I mean, have those 25 years been pretty rough for the housing stock that was already pretty crappy? Do you think that explains some of the rise?
Oh, I think so. Look, I mean, New Zealand's got some terrible stock of houses out there, and living in Wellington and having 5 tamariki myself, they've all been through the student flats that have been available down here in Wellington. Appalling conditions. We do have the healthy home standards, but I think certainly what we're calling on as well is to make sure those are enforced. You know, we need to have regular checks of what stock is out there from landlords and make sure that they are compliant as well, because often, you know, this is inequitable, and often a lot of our lower socioeconomic people are actually living in these really poor, unhealthy homes. So we need to make sure there's some sort of repercussions for landlords who haven't bought those up to spec.
Mm-hmm, completely. And I don't know about what it's like in Wellington, but here in Dunedin, there's all these different exemptions for the healthy home standards for heritage grounds. It's fair if you want to keep a 150-year-old or 100-year-old property in its character that you can't really renovate it. But there should be some kind of reckoning there because there's so many old houses around Dunedin that are just have no insulation because they can't be any put in.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly we'll be releasing our political manifesto soon for, obviously, it's election year. Mm. And that'll be one of the key focus areas for us as well, is to make sure that actually these healthy home standards are enforced and actually there are, you know, fines for landlords that aren't actually meeting those requirements. The other thing is we would like to see is the flu tracking surveillance tool actually put reinstated as well, because we did have the surveillance tool which would look at how flu rates were tracking around the country since 2018, and that is no longer the case, and we'd like to see that flu tracking program reinstated as well.
Mm. Well, speaking of great initiatives that sort of fell by the wayside, flu vaccine funding in 2022, PharmAc was proud to announce that it expanded free flu vaccines to children aged 3 to 12 for that calendar year. Then it also expanded to Pacifica and Māori aged 55 to 64. And then they stopped funding both groups in 2024. Why did they cut this funding?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's just got to come down to a dollar amount. I mean, absolutely, you're talking about the most at-risk people that we have in our population, you know, our kiddies and some of our older population as well, especially when it comes to respiratory. So we need to look at a bigger lens, I guess, not just look at the cost of initially supplying something like a vaccination or an intervention, because that's going to actually stop people going into the hospital, you know, and definitely bouncing backwards and forwards into the hospital, as we saw from the Secure Kids report. So it's short-sighted, really, making these decisions. These aren't cost-effective decisions at all.
No, and not that we need to, I mean, it feels like everything needs an economic justification these days, but respiratory problems cause cost the New Zealand economy about $8.4 billion, is what I read. And so if a vaccine compared to a lifetime or years of even months of respiratory illness surely would outweigh the cost.
Exactly. You know, respiratory disease, it costs over that amount, but it causes 1 in 11 hospital stays as well. And there's the cost of actually, you know, parents having to take time off work. There's a lot of associated costs rather than just the cost to the healthcare sector. It's taking time off work, it's transport issues. There's a whole load of factors that go into that.
You've said that these hospitalisation figures should force immediate action. Given that this government is sort of reticent to do anything about the impending fuel crisis, how hopeful are you that the coalition will help with reducing these respiratory problems?
Well, you know, that's a good point, because if people are actually having to get their kiddies to the doctor and they're relying on, you know, their own vehicle and the petrol prices, you know, they should be coming down as quickly as they rose with the crisis. We know that that's actually dropped the price of fuel overseas, so I don't know why it's taking so long to enact that here. We'd like to see that certainly make a difference or a change in the fuel prices by the end of this week.
Mm, mm. Given it's an election year, do you think that you'll be listened to by more political parties, that you have more leverage to maybe get some more vaccines and to lobby for better housing stock in New Zealand?
Definitely. There'll be two points in our political manifesto, which we're hoping to release in June this year. So there'll be big focuses for us.
Mm. One last thing. You echo a key recommendation from this Cure Kids report for the government to fund what's called, I'm probably going to mispronounce this, Nirsevimab. It's an antibody that helps fight respiratory syncytial virus. You've seen it. It's seen international success, and it's currently under consideration by MedSafe and PharmAc. Why is this treatment so effective, and do you think that it will get funding this year?
Oh, look, we really do hope. It's just got to be fast-tracked through the approval process, which is MedSafe, and then get funded by PharmAc. But, you know, we're talking about hospitalisations being reduced up to 80% in a lot of the overseas data. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be fast-tracking this and helping our tamariki stay out of hospital.
Mm. What makes it such an effective treatment?
For this, it's just the next generation, I guess, of these vaccines that they're always evolving, because, of course, viruses are always evolving. Mm. So with this, it's going to mean that, you know, our kids are protected. It's going to make it a lot easier for patients, for our parents to manage that. So it's a simple ask. I mean, I don't know why, you know, with the amount of data that's out there overseas and the success of Nirsevimab, why it isn't funded. So, you know, we'll keep pushing, and that'll also be on the manifesto there, Zach.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to see that manifesto. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Leticia. It's been a real real privilege. Do you have any final thoughts, words or opinions to leave our listeners with?
No, just I guess, you know, respiratory health affects us all. We've all got lungs, so look after them. Look after what you're putting into them. Definitely if you are in a high-risk group, make sure that you can go ahead and get a vaccine. If you can afford it, then try and do that, yourself. But otherwise, we'll be getting the push to make sure it's publicly available.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I wish you all the best with the good work you're putting in. Thank you so much for coming on the program. I hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Zach. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. All right, folks. That was Leticia Harding, the Chief Executive for the Asthma Foundation. We're going to play...
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.